to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.
Oh, isn't she the cutest thing? I mean, you can watch that forever and ever, and man, you never get tired of it. I mean, she is so cute and innocent. We could have communion and go home, and we're done for the day. Yeah? You know, kids can be so innocent. They can be so cute. But are they always trustworthy? Not all the time. Yeah, mothers know that. You know, I was doing my ironing one morning, and it was Friday of our Doing Church as a Team conference. And remember they had all that high wind warning that was set up. In fact, they closed down the school. They shut down all of the government agencies and the offices. And so I'm ironing my shirt, getting ready for the conference. It's about 6 o'clock in the morning. And all of a sudden, the light goes out. And I'm thinking, oh, not another blackout. Shucks. And I'm thinking of the conference. What are we going to do? How are we going to adjust? I'm thinking about, how am I going to finish ironing my shirt? What am I going to wear to the conference? And I turn around, and here's my little six-year-old holding the light switch. Oh, what? You thought it was going to be a blackout, and he's flipping a switch. And you can't trust this guy. You know, he's so cute. But sometimes you can't trust little kids, as innocent as they may be. What about you as an adult? How trustworthy are you? How honest are you? Especially to non-Christians. They're watching and they're checking us out and trying to see if we're going to live up to our word. Sometimes we think, you know, we're Christians, and so we're honest people. Yeah, we believe in Jesus. He's changed our lives, and so we're honest. How honest are we? Reader's Digest did a survey of a survey population, and a lot of these people, they thought they were honest before they took the survey, but not quite so sure after they saw their answers. You want to take a survey this morning? Okay, I'm not going to ask you to shout it out or anything, okay? Just keep the answers to yourselves. But let's do a survey this morning. And the question is, have you ever, let's start real easy. Have you ever sampled grapes or strawberries or fruits at a supermarket and not paid for it? Okay, don't answer out loud, all right? If you have, you join 22% of the survey population. All right, here's another one. Have you ever driven over 10 miles per hour? Or have you ever run a red light knowing that you wouldn't get caught? So you didn't see any HPD around, so you went over 10 miles an hour. Over the speed limit, 10 miles an hour. Or you ran through a red light. Okay, if you did, you joined 46% of the population. How many of you have ever downloaded music from the internet and not paid for it? 45% of the population said yes. Now, this one, please don't answer out loud, all right? And don't look around. Look straight at me. Don't even flinch. Don't even, like make a move, all right? Have you ever lied to your spouse about a relationship with someone else? Oh, quiet. Yeah, this room. 46% of the population said yes. Have you ever cheated on a test in school? 48% said yes. All right, let's say you're undercharged or you're given too much change. Have you reported it? Have you ever reported it or not reported it to the cashier? The Chinese are saying, what's wrong with that? They gave me extra money. It's my money. What's wrong with that? 51% said yes. Have you ever called in sick at work when you weren't ill, when you weren't sick? Yeah, a lot of surfers are saying, what's wrong with that? You know, surf is up, swells in. 55% said yes to that. Have you ever taken office supplies from your company, from your office for personal use? Okay. City and county, state workers. 62% said yes of the population. All right, this is the number one lie that people have made. Number one lie that we've said to others. Okay, the question was asked, have you ever lied to a family member or a friend about how they look, their appearance? Have you ever lied to them because you didn't want to hurt their feelings? 71% say yes. I'm guilty of that. I tell Pastor Wayne every morning, "You're so handsome. You look so handsome." We don't want to hurt feelings. You know, it shows that men, the survey showed that men tend to be dishonest about things that are more impersonal, like taking office supplies or downloading music from the internet without paying. Women are more apt to tell a lie when it comes to more personal relational issues. And so they will call in sick, although they're not really sick. Or they'll lie about the appearance of someone. They'll say, "Oh, no, that pants doesn't make your hips look big. Not at all. Not at all." They don't want to hurt feelings. Guys would say, "Suck it in, sister. That thing really is overhanging there." Guys are just straight to the point. But what was really interesting about this survey, it showed that there was no statistical difference between Christians and non-Christians when it came to dishonesty in the world. No statistical difference. And it's not a common trend, folks. It's been happening for years. That's why James had to write us a warning and a reminder about being men and women of our word. Very top of your notes, let's read together James 5. Ready? Let's read that. Go. "Above all, my brothers, do not swear, not by heaven or by earth or by anything else. Let your yes be yes and your no, no, or you will be condemned." See, what was happening at that time was they had the Ten Commandments in front of them, but the Pharisees began to develop this system of when a person's promise should be held to and when they didn't have to really consider holding true to their word. They would say, if you made a promise by the name of God, then you better stick to that promise. But if you promise by anything else, like I promise by the earth, I promise by the heavens, I promise by the temple that I'm looking at, I promise by the hairs of my head, then if you didn't feel like carrying through with that promise, you didn't have to. And so the Jews began to give their word like that. They would begin to swear by my father's name and the family name that I live by. I swear that I'm telling the truth. Or they'll say, you know, I swear by the certainty of the rising sun that I'm telling the truth. Or they'll say, you know, I swear by allowing myself to stand on this earth, and if I'm not telling the truth, let the earth swallow me up whole. And they would add those words on to emphasize their truth-telling, but really they didn't want to carry through with it. They had no intention of fulfilling their promise. If they wanted to, they could. If they didn't, no big deal, because the Pharisaical law allowed for that. And we kind of do the same today, don't we? Cross my heart, hope to die, kids say, but I don't have to do it because I had my fingers crossed. Or we'll hear people say, I will marry you and I will love you till death do us part, or until you mess up, whichever comes first. Then I'll sue you to death in court for all the finances. You know, we'll add on conditions to our promises, and if the conditions aren't met, yeah, we chuck out of it. We don't have to stay with our promise. And James, you can hear James screaming out to us today from what he wrote 2,000 years ago. No, 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 no. Be a man and a woman that when you say yes, let it be yes. If you say no, let it be no. Nothing in between. See, why is that so important? Would you fill this in, number one? It's because it's your commitment that's going to define who you are. It's not what you say. See, people aren't looking at what you say. They don't want to listen to what you say. It's whether you can be counted on to carry out what you said. See, it's whether you can be held to your word. That's going to define you. That's going to define your family. It's going to define your legacy. Because we can say all the right things. It's easy to say the right things, but are we going to live by what we say? Christians can do that a lot. Oh, God bless you. Do we really want God to bless them? Oh, sister, I'll pray for you. I really will. Do we really pray for them? Jesus picked up on that. Matthew 5, he says this out of the Message translation. I love the way he translated this scripture. Read that with me. Ready? Go. "And don't say anything you don't mean. This counsel is embedded deep in our traditions. You only make things worse when you lay down a smokescreen of pious talk, saying, I'll pray for you, and never doing it. Or saying, God be with you, and not meaning it. You don't make your words true by embellishing them with religious lace. In making your speech sound more religious, it becomes less true. Just say yes and no. When you manipulate words to get your own way, you go wrong. When you start adding words to make it seem like you're telling the truth, when you become more religious with people, especially non-Christians, they get turned off by that. They do. Because what they're looking for is, are you willing to live by what you're saying? Not adding on all these words. The more religious we sound, the more unbelievable we can become. See, integrity isn't about words. Integrity is an inner discipline that we need to develop. It's an inner truthfulness that doesn't depend on vows and oaths that we take. That's why Psalm 51 says this. Read this with me. Ready? Go. Behold, you desire truth in the inner being. Make me, therefore, to know wisdom in my inmost heart. Because what you say and how you carry it out will define who you are. That's how people will view you. That's how they'll think of you. That's your reputation that you'll have to that you'll earn. You know, I'm at Manoa, and we do set up like we do any other satellite sites. We set up and we take down. In the morning, I go and help them set up. And so Jared, my little six-year-old, said, "Hey, Dad, I want to come with you." He says, what are you going to do so early? I said, "I'm going to help them set up." He said, "Well, I want to help." I said, "Nah, you're just going to come and run around. I know you. You're just going to run around." He says, "No, I want to help." I said, "You sure you want to help?" He says, "Yes, I really want to help." I said, "Okay, you better don't just come and mess around now. Don't waste my time. You jump in a car. We're going to all help." So he jumps in. We went out to set up everything. And I put him in the children's ark room to help them set up the children's ark. And I went around and did what I thought, you know, was my responsibility as the campus pastor. I would encourage the Levites and say, "Yeah, good to see you here." And I would help them carry a bin here, go to the hospitality, go to the greeters, and just give hugs and just encourage people. Well, later that morning, one of the children's ark volunteers came by, and she said, "You know what your son just said?" I said, "Oh, what did he say now?" He asked me, "Auntie, am I a good helper?" I told him, "Yeah, you're a good helper." "Auntie, do I work hard?" "Oh, Jared, you work really hard." And then he said, "You know my dad, he don't do nothing. He just walk around, talk to people." This little bugger, you know, it's like, he was watching me the whole time. So I told him that I would go and help, and he's looking at me thinking I'm just walking around talking story, you know, vala'al with everybody. You know, people in the world are looking at us in the same way a lot of times because we say we're Christians. We say we're going to be honest. Are we honest? Are we trustworthy? People are watching us. Are we willing to live by what we say? Not just say the words. That's why it's so important, folks. And number two, would you write this in? To keep your promise, even if it seems insignificant. See, there are commitments we make, there are promises we make, and in our minds we may think, "Oh, it's not a big deal, so if I skip out of this, it's not a big deal." You watch yourself if you're beginning to do that. See, because it all adds up in the end. Even if, especially when it comes to dishonesty, when it comes to things that we shouldn't be doing, like, you know, I hear guys say, "Well, it's just window shopping. If women can window shop, so can I. I'm not touching anything, just looking." Yeah, those things may seem insignificant to you, but it all adds up. You know, a lot of times I think the most divorces aren't taking place in a court of law. You know where they're taking place? In someone's heart. There's not an affair. It's not an affair that's going on between a man and a woman in the bed somewhere. It's an affair that's going on between a man and a woman in their heart. And they've already divorced themselves from their wife, although they're still legally married, because they've allowed these insignificant things, or seemingly insignificant things, to enter into their minds. Same it is with commitments that we make, promises that we're asked to carry out. It may seem insignificant to us, but I tell you, folks, it'll add up in the end. Lies are like that. Someone said it this way: a little lie is like a little pregnancy. It doesn't take long before it starts showing. It won't take long before people will begin to notice. And then who are you becoming? See, it's not the lie that really is the concern. It's not the dishonesty per se that we're talking about here. It's really who you're becoming when you entertain these thoughts, when you begin to shy away from promises and commitments you think are insignificant. Who are you becoming? Colossians 3 says this. Let's read that together. Ready? Go. You used to walk in these ways, but now you must rid yourselves of all such things. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. See, when we fail to follow through with our commitments, who are we then beginning to resemble? Who are we morphing into? Look at what John 8 says. Read that one. Ready? Go. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. When we begin to entertain lies, or when we begin to put aside just promises that in our minds, again, we think it's insignificant, we're really morphing more back to who we were before, beginning to represent and resemble the devil himself, to be a part of that family. But people are watching, and they're listening, and they want to know, do we love God enough that we will change the way we live our lives? They want to know, do we love Jesus enough that we will reflect the Lord in integrity and honesty in all things that we do? Are we going to be people of our word? And I'm almost ashamed to share this illustration, but you know, we try to become as best as we can men who follow the ways of God. But how many of you have failed? You know, as best as you tried, how many of you have failed? Yeah, raise your hand. Please do, because I'm not alone in this. We all fail, although we try hard. It was at a Mackay food court in Alamoana Center where we were having dinner. Joy and I were having dinner there, and she loves ice cream after dinner. And so I said, well, let me get some. Stay here, and I'll be right back. And I went over to the Haagen-Dazs bar area, and I took a look at the menu board, and it said a scoop of ice cream for about $3.50 and a double scoop for, I think it was $4.50. And I thought, well, rather than buy a single scoop for her and a single scoop for me, I'll just get a double scoop and I'll eat off of hers and just save me some money. So I bought the $4.50 and I heard this man behind me say, hey, Pastor Elwin. And I turned around and I looked and I said, oh, hi. And his clothes were kind of disheveled, wrinkled, dirty, with some pukas in it. His hair was messy, he's unshaven. He was carrying a Bible, but it was pretty beat up. Torn pages looked like they were folded over. And he said, Pastor Elwin, boy, I could sure use one of those. And I looked and I thought, gosh, $4.50, man. I just paid $4.50 for this thing. And then he looked at me and he said, well, maybe I don't need one of those. And his stomach was kind of hanging out. And I thought, oh, thank goodness, because I don't want to fork out another. He came over to me. He says, give me a hug. So I kind of reached my arm around and gave him a courteous hug. And he grabbed me tight. And I'm trying to hold my ice cream out. I didn't want to get squashed in between. He hugged me and then he let me go. And he began to tell me all about my life, things that had gone on in my past. He talked about my son, Brandon, who's at the Leeward site, about how well that he's seen him do here and there. He began to ask about Jared. He said, hey, you brought your son back from China. I said, yeah. He said, I know about this. And he started telling me about Jared's life. And then he said to me, hey, is your wife here? I said, yeah, she's here. She's over there. He said, the same one? I'm thinking, oh, he knows more about me than I realized. I said, yeah, she's the same wife. He says, can I come and meet her? I said, yeah, come along. So I brought him over. He said, hi, Joy. And he reached out like he wanted to hug her. She stuck up her hand. And she looked over at me. She said, who is he? I said, I don't know. And he began to tell her about her life, all the things that he knew about her in the past. And then he said, well, God bless you guys. And he left. And she said, who is he? I said, I don't know. He just wanted an ice cream. She said, did you buy him one? I said, for 50, honey. I'm not going to buy him another ice cream. She said, why didn't you buy him an ice cream? I said, why didn't you stand up and hug him? And we got into this conversation. And she stopped me and she said, you know what the Bible says? If you entertain a stranger, if you're hospitable to a stranger, you just might be entertaining an angel.
That's right.
I said, oh my goodness, where is he? I want to give him my ice cream. And I looked over and he was gone. I couldn't see him at all. He was gone. We talked about that for a bit. We went home. Next morning, as we got up and we ate breakfast together, it's like the Lord put that thought in our minds at the very same moment. And we talked about it some more. And I said, oh, man, for a cup of $4.50 of ice cream, I missed being able to entertain an angel. I blew it. And I thought, you know, as insignificant as that cup of ice cream may have cost, think of the price that was paid for the kingdom of God, and I blew it. You know, folks, there are some promises and some commitments you may have made that may seem insignificant to you. But I think sometimes the richest rewards that God has in store for us are wrapped up in those insignificant moments. Dads, put down your pen and pick up a baseball glove and throw a ball with your son. Moms, put away the checkbooks and read a book to your kids. They're just dying for some time with you. You know, you don't need toys around the house. Just go ahead and grab your kid and roll around on the floor. See, in your mind, it may be something insignificant, not a big deal. To your kids, it means the world to them. Friendships. You know, invite someone to lunch. In fact, you don't even have to take them to a restaurant. Just make peanut butter and jelly or something and have a good time just renewing friendships. Guys, it's Valentine's right around the corner. Buy flowers for a change. It doesn't have to be an expensive bunch. I just was in Chinatown yesterday. $4 for a bunch. That's all you need. And rather than going to a store and buying a big old card, why don't you just write a card, write a poem to them. Make dinner for your wife. You don't have to go to an expensive restaurant. Do the best you can at making dinner. If you can't do it, get some TV dinner and just pop it in a toaster oven. Because listen, and wives, you tell me if I'm wrong. It's not about the flowers. It's not about the cards. It's not about the meal. It's about keeping their word. Isn't that true? It's about men saying yes to you and no to everyone else in this world. And keeping your word. Women, it's you saying yes to you, to your family, to your kids, and no to the world. Now, sometimes we get so caught up in the things that we say, nah, it's not a big deal. I can just shuffle around that. And you miss the richest rewards that God may have for you. Stay true to your promises, even though it may seem insignificant. Now, I know some promises are hard. They're hard to keep. I know that there are times where we struggle. We're not receiving the rewards. We're not receiving the affection, the affirmations that we thought that we would gain. And it's hard to stay true to that. Number three, would you write this in? Keep your promises, even when it seems regrettable. Even though things haven't turned out the way that you hoped. Don't let regret keep you from fulfilling your promises. See, the Psalms talks about this. Psalm 15, read that with me. Ready? Go. Lord, who may dwell in your sanctuary? He whose walk is blameless and who speaks the truth from his heart and who keeps his oath. Underline that phrase, would you? Even when it hurts. See, the Lord knew that there will be times, folks. The Lord knew that there will be promises, that there'll be relationships that is so hard to keep, that there are issues that are going to jump up and stand in our way. But the Lord says, you want to dwell in my sanctuary, keep your promises, even though it hurts. The Lord knew the reason why it's so necessary to keep our promise. He knew why it was necessary for us to be promise keepers. See, it was so important to him that James says, above all, above everything else,
See, when you read through the book of James, you're going to see in the first few chapters, he talks about faith, talks about wisdom. He talks about taming the tongue, talks about quarreling, how to resolve our quarrels. And in the last chapter of James, the final chapter, like he's summing everything up, he says this. He says, now, you read through everything. If you missed everything else, you got to catch this. You ever seen Pastor Wayne do that? Yeah, I'm a student by learning, by observing. And I watch him, and sometimes when he wants to make a point, he'll come up to the edge of the stage, and he'll lean over and kind of pull up his pants. And he'll say, now, if you've missed everything else, you got to catch this. That's what James is saying. If you've missed everything else in this book, you got to catch this. Be a man and a woman of your word. Someone who's reliable, who's trustworthy, that when you say yes, you mean yes. When you say no, it's no. Be a man or woman of your word. You know why? Because the Lord knew that the consequences of breaking our promises is not about finances. It's not about the economic situation. Broken promises will lead to broken relationships. It breaks our relationship with God. It breaks our relationship with one another. And too many times we fall into broken relationships that lead to distrust. It leads to families and friendships falling apart and deteriorating, whether it's between spouses or parents and kids or their friends. See, when trust is violated, it takes years for credibility to be built back. Isn't that true? It takes a long time to reestablish trust with one another. And the Lord knew something about us, more than we know about ourselves, that we have a tendency to avoid conflict. And so when there is a broken trust because of a broken promise or a broken word within a relationship, we avoid that. It's such a regrettable situation. I don't want to deal with that. And we turn the corner and we move on to something else without dealing with the issues that we have to deal with. And so we have relationships that exist on a superficial level. We never get deep and resolve the frustrations or the disappointments or the discouragements that come our way. And the Lord is saying, rather than move into that direction, no, let's work on the promise that you've made. It's hard. It's going to be hard, but you got to figure out a way to work it out. Otherwise, your relationship will deteriorate. And I've seen that story happen and repeated so many times in marriages and friendships and partnerships that break apart because of broken promises with one another. Just taking marriages alone, you know, statistics don't lie. If you're a first-time, first-time marriage, you get married for the first time, 50% of you will get divorced, the world statistics. If you get married a second time, the rate of divorce jumps up to 67%. If you get married a third time, the rate of divorce jumps up to 74%. And George Barna, in doing his studies on marriages, he comes to this conclusion that Americans consider it just a natural part of life to get a divorce nowadays. There's no stigma attached to divorce. It's just so common that people just accept it, and it's not a big deal. In other words, it's so easy to give in to regret than to hold true to our word in our relationship. Oh, it's too hard. I regret getting married to this guy. Well, situations have changed. Yeah, I used to love him, but I don't love him anymore because times have changed and we regret that. And rather than pouring our efforts in to try and resolve it so that we can live up to our promises and commitments, we'd rather walk away from it. It's easier to give in to regret than to hold fast to our word. Now, some of you may say, well, it was too hard. Now, how do I stay in it? Some of you may be going through it right now. Do I stay in this way, this relationship, or jump out? I cannot give you an answer to that because there are too many variables to consider. But let me encourage you in this way. The promise and the commitment I'm asking you to keep, even though you're in regrettable situations, really it boils down to your commitment to the Lord, to no one else. In other words, in your relationship, do everything that you can that God is asking of you. If the other person chooses to walk out of it, you have no control over that. If they walk, they walk. But you do everything you can that when you say yes to the Lord, that you're going to follow His ways, you do everything you can to stay true to that commitment. That's what it comes down to, even if it hurts. You know, there's a person who went through the most agonizing moment, and he knew that things weren't going to go so well in the end. But he stayed true because he was a man of integrity. The circumstances changed around him. They were changing, but he stayed true. See, integrity is staying true to your commitment, even though the circumstances under which you made that commitment has changed. Even if there have been changed circumstances, you still stay true. This man stayed true to his commitment, and he kept his word. You know who that was? Jesus Christ. Let's read Luke 22 and see what it says there. Ready? Go. Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done. And being in agony, he was praying very fervently, and his sweat became like drops of blood falling down upon the ground. Would you underline the phrase, being in agony? It was the most agonizing moment for this man. He was going through the toughest time, trying to decide, man, do I stay and keep my word? He was so distressed that when he prayed, he sweated and his sweat dropped like blood. Now, I know many of us may have had some sleepless nights because we've agonized over this issue. I know many of us have had like ulcers, and we've had problems with our health because of what we have been going through, because of a broken promise. But how many of us have sweat so bad that it dropped like blood from our foreheads? None of us have done that, but he did. It was in his most agonizing moment, I want you to catch this, that Jesus became the ultimate promise keeper. See, even though he was facing a toughest challenge, even though he was persecuted and beaten and tortured, he's kept his word. You know why? It wasn't for him. It's for us. So that we can live today. So that generations upon generations can benefit from him keeping his word. Was it easy for him? Don't believe that it was. But as tough as it was, he knew that someone was going to benefit by him keeping his promise. You know, folks, we won't know who that is for us. If we stay true to what we've committed to the Lord and to one another, even in the midst of pain, we won't know who will benefit from us. But the Lord showed us that by allowing his body to be broken and his blood to be shed, we get to live today. He knew we were going to break promises. We all have broken promises. But even though we've broken our promises to him and to one another, his grace has allowed us to live again. You cannot thank him enough for his grace. But I think it's time that we say to ourselves, as James is calling out to us, can we live our lives by just being men and women of our word? That when we say yes to the Lord, we mean no to the world, and live our lives integrously and with honesty. That's why I thought it's great. You know, at communion time, and I'm going to ask the ushers, go ahead and come down and begin to pass out the trays. I believe it's so good that at communion time, we just recenter ourselves on that. To remember that the Lord kept his word, and because of that, we get to live today. And that maybe there are some promises that we need to renew with our Father and with others in our lives. As they pass the trays, go ahead and take a bread, take a cup of juice, and hold it before you, and begin to reflect on your own lives, what it means to live as a man and woman of your word. And we'll come back, and we'll take it together.
We fall down, we lay our crowns at the feet of Jesus. The greatness of your mercy and love at the feet of Jesus. We fall down, and we fall down,
Go ahead and hold the cup and the bread in front of you. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord God. Oh, Lord, we can't begin to thank you enough for the grace that you've shown to us. For all the promises that we've broken along the way. Lord, to you, to others around us. Times, Father, that we have fallen far short of your glory. You're still there to love us. You're still there to keep your promise, knowing that we would fail. Because you knew, Lord God, that we need to come back to you. That we need to receive your grace to make it whole again. So we can have a second chance at living life the way that you wanted us to. Father, thank you for reminders that we have where we need to keep our promises that we've made to you, our commitment to live a lifestyle that reflects you in all that we do, whether it's our thoughts, our innermost feelings. Lord, let there be no more ambiguity where we live within the lines. But Father, we want to live a life where we've said yes to you. And we want to follow you. We've said no to the world. And we want to walk away from that. Help us to keep ourselves holy unto you, O God. I'm going to ask that you keep your eyes closed, your heads bowed. Maybe you're here this morning and you have not yet asked Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior. I want to give you an opportunity to do so this morning. Maybe you lived your lives on the in-betweens, where you said yes to some things and no to others, but you found yourself just being tossed around in the middle. And you're tired of that. You want to live a life where Jesus Christ is your best friend. If that's you this morning and you've never said yes to Jesus, do so now. In your hearts. And when you do, just lift the hand. Go ahead. No one's looking around. Lift the hand and you're saying, yes, that's me, Lord. Come into my life. Right here in the front. Good. The side there. Right in the middle. Keep your hands up there in the back. Good. Yeah, no one's looking around. On the side. Bless you. Keep your hands up there. Good. On that side. Right here in the front. Bless you. You can put your hands down. How many of you would say, you know, I need to keep my promises. I've been short of that lately. And Lord, would you help me to do so? To live my life for you, Lord God. To say yes to you and no to the world. If that's you, would you raise a hand right now? You're saying, yeah, that's me. You put your hands down. Lord, you saw the hearts. You saw the hands. Father, indeed, thank you for forgiving us for our sins. Thank you for living up to your word. May we now live up to the word that we've given to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Take the bread. Now the juice. As you leave this morning, the ushers will have a receptacle. You can go ahead and place your cups in there, but isn't it good to put the world on the side? Just come back and remind ourselves of the basic things in life. Can we just be men and women who will live our lives in an authentic, integrous, and honest way? You agree with that? Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. That's Austin. Let's pray once more as we conclude. Father, thank you again for a wonderful morning where we were reminded and filled with your Holy Spirit. We leave now differently than when we came. We love you in Jesus' name. We pray. Amen.
Amen.
Seal that to your hearts with a clap offering, would you?
Have a great week keeping the promises of God.